We're talking about the birth of Christ. Good morning. We can tell we're in Virginia. Most of the folks saw that terrible weather. My wife and I just laugh about it. I was telling somebody this morning that it wasn't unusual in our church to get snowed in while we're having a service. You can imagine. We talked last Sunday about prophecy and how it affected the birth of Christ. This morning we're going to talk to you about the story. It's an incredible story. One that, if not looked at correctly, will be misapplied. The story of the birth of Christ is a human story. Very human. We forget, I think, sometimes that the players, the personalities in the Bible were very real people. These were real people. You ladies will identify right away with Lady Mary, and you men will identify right away with that young man named Joseph. We forget that these two individuals involved were two newly engaged young people, very much in love. Into this relationship, we are brought through the writing of both Matthew and Luke. Matthew's account views this birth through the eyes of Joseph. Luke's account views this birth through the eyes of Mary. The lineage in Matthew follows Joseph's life traced back. That is a picture of the royal lineage of David. Christ would have a right to the throne because he was of a royal lineage. The account in Luke 3 that traces Mary's life back through a different man than Solomon, Nathan, another son of David's, traces his historical right, his lineage right, you might say, to the throne. One has his royal right, one has the right by lineage, and in order for the throne to be taken in Israel, both had to be true. Now we're going to look, first of all, at this young woman, and in fact, we have a title for that first part, An Innocent Woman Confronted. We're going to look at the second part, A Just Man's Dilemma. The word confronted, we mean by that, we do not mean that there's something bad that's going to happen, but we mean there's an encounter. And we're going to read about it in Luke's chapter, and then we'll read about this young man's dilemma in Matthew. Both are part of the story. Well, let's get right to it. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, that sixth month means the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Those early verses in that passage talk about Elizabeth, a cousin of Mary, married to a priest, Zacharias, and she's going to have a baby who will be John the Baptist, and she's now in her sixth month. So the conception of Christ took at least 6 months into the pregnancy for John the Baptist. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. It's up in the hill country of Galilee. about 100 to 120 miles from Bethlehem, about the same amount from Jerusalem. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw the angel, notice it does not say when she heard the angel. She did hear him. But they put saw there for an important reason. We'll tell you about it. She was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this was. What kind of greeting is this? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. Number one, I want you to notice that we've started this part by saying that this young woman was innocent. There are several things that we can gather from both this verse and what we know about Mary that we can be assured that she was an innocent young woman. Number one, she was between the ages, now write this down, she was between the ages of 14 and 16 years of age. You older ladies, you remember when you were 16? In Jewish custom, that was not abnormal for marriage of a young woman, 15, 16 years of age. It is today, and it should be today. But then she was just a young girl. She's a teenager. Do you get this picture yet? She's just what I would term still a baby. She's just a young little girl, 16 years of age. She's engaged to a young man who she fell in love with. Through the order of the Jewish law and those things, they were engaged. The word espoused there means engagement. And in an engagement, according to Jewish law, they were considered married, though they had not consummated the marriage. So here's a young woman who had to meet the requirements of the law. For marriage in a Jewish custom, it was required that she be pure, a virgin. We know that she was because the announcement was to the Virgin Mary. She was innocent then toward evil. She was in a town of between 300 and 400 people. How many know when you live in a town of 300 to 400 people, everybody knows your business? How many know that? That's true. I mean, there's nothing that happened in her life that most everybody in that general area didn't know about. So they understood what kind of person she was. They watched her during the day. They saw her grow up. They saw her background. They saw how she behaved herself in town. They realized that here was a fine young woman. She was an innocent woman. She was innocent of any evil doing. And that was recognized in her life from the time she was little. She was innocent. She was innocent towards evil. She was innocent with respect to the law. She obeyed it. She came into this marriage properly. She was a virgin. He was marrying a young woman who was pure. There was no taint on her character. She obeyed the law. She was innocent toward evil. She was innocent with respect to the law. She was innocent morally. Her moral rightness was intact. She would have been known in Nazareth as a pure young woman. And everybody knew it. So here's this girl without spot or blemish on her character. You following me? She was seen with knowing she had the highest ideals in mind. She was seen with a reputation that was spot on. Everybody recognized her in that way. So this young woman who was probably in the house doing whatever young women do at the time of day that the angel showed up, she was doing that. She understood the teaching of the law. She understood the traditions of the Jewish people. One of the traditions of Jewish people was that anyone that saw an angel probably was going to get bad news and demise. It wasn't thought to be a thing to look forward to. In the book of Daniel, Daniel saw an angel in a dream, and it frightened him so much. This is a more grown man now. It frightens him so much that the Bible says, the hairs on my flesh stood up. How many know what that means? How many of you ever been scared about something and the hairs on the back of your neck stood up? How many know what I'm talking about? Were you scared or not? You were scared. That's the same word used here when it says the angel says to her, to this innocent young woman in a small town, recognized for all of her cleanness and purity and godliness. He says to her, fear not. That's the word. How do we know she was fearful? Look at verse 29. And when she saw him, the angel, she was troubled. That word means to be overwhelmed. Consternation. Fear. She was troubled in her mind. Angels showed up in her house. How many, if you ladies, if you're working in your kitchen and you don't realize somebody has come in the door, you have no idea. And they walk in and they say, hey, Belhika. Knowing Belhika, she'd do one of two things. She'd jump through the window going out the door, outside, or she'd punch the person in the mouth, one of the two. I'm not sure which one. Yeah. But she would respond in fear. That would be a reactionary thing. And that's this word trouble. It means to have a reaction to what just took place. The angel said, Mary. The second most powerful angel in heaven, Michael, the archangel, being the most powerful. He's the one that's brought in for war. He says, Mary. And the Bible says, when she saw him, she was troubled and cast in her mind what manner of greeting this should be. That phrase, cast in her mind, means concerned, confused, trying in these few moments to make sense of what just happened. She had no idea what was going on. She had no comprehension of why he was there. She wasn't warned prior to that. She wasn't told that this was going to happen. It just happened. And from a human perspective, put yourself in the place of that little young woman, just a teenager, and the fear that fell on her and the frightening thing that just happened to her, and seeing an angel must have been a sight that she had no idea was going to transpire. She was scared to death. What was going to take place? She was an innocent young woman. But she was confronted. By that word confront, we mean she had an encounter. There was a telling that was going to take place. In fact, that word, the Greek word that I'm using here to describe with the word confronted, literally means a telling. It's going to be a telling that takes place. She was fearful in verse 29. She saw an angel. That troubled her. She was disturbed. She was shaken, cast in her mind, trying to make sense of the thing. The angel says in verse 30, Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. That means two things. Number one, it means that God saw her favorably. In fact, it's the word we would get our word grace from. He saw her in grace. Isn't that pretty? That's how the angel saw her. That's how God would have seen her, in grace. But it means that she was also a woman of grace. So he would have seen not only this girl bound in the grace of God, but one whom God knew was full of grace and living a godly life. He would have viewed her that way. So when he said, "Thou hast found favor with God," that's what he meant. "Thou art highly favored among women," that's what he meant. "The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." What? How many women were there in Nazareth? How many women were in Israel? How many women were there around the world at this time? And he's saying, blessed art thou not among women in Nazareth, not among women just in Israel, not among women in the surrounding countries, but women in general, the world of women. Blessed art thou. That's quite a thing to say to a 16-year-old. I don't know about you, but if I were her, I'd just get more confused. Where is this leading? Where is he going with this? What's going to happen? She was fearful. She was favored. Now he tells her the reason for the visit. Look at verse 31. "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." What? There's no doubt a 16-year-old knew what that meant. Notice the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive." He didn't say you, and Joseph shall conceive. Words are important in the Bible. Mary, you're going to get pregnant. Look down at verse 34, because it goes with that verse. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" I don't know Joseph. I've never had a relationship with a man. None at all. Zero a nada. And here he says to her, "You're going to conceive." And Mary said, "How on earth can this happen? How can this possibly be?" Well, he said, number one, you're going to conceive. Verse 34 asks the question. Verse 35 answers the question. It's supernatural. Amen? It's not going to happen normally or naturally. It's supernatural. These things just don't happen. Virgins do not get pregnant. That's an impossibility. And so she knew something beyond that was going to take place because Joseph wasn't there. They weren't fully married yet. They had not consummated the marriage yet. She knew that something else was coming. And here this young girl, pure as she was, as good as she was, as clean as she was, as righteous as she was, now was going to get pregnant without a man. It's a human story. Was supernatural. In verse 35, he says, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee." It's interesting to me that he says the power of the highest. Do you know what the name Gabriel means? The angel's name Gabriel means the power of God. Isn't that interesting? The angel whose name means the power of God is telling her that the power of God will come upon her. "And the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing," underline that phrase. No one coming out of the womb by human agency is holy. That means a person who is completely without sin. None of us are that way. Jesus would have been born completely without sin, holy. That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary said in verse 8, Mary said, "Behold thy handmaid. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. So Mary is now this innocent girl, is approached by an angel, confronted about the possibility. The thing takes place. She now has conceived in her womb and is pregnant. So what does she do? She leaves town. She goes to Elizabeth's house, hill country of Judah, at least 50 miles, most believe. Some believe nearly all the way to Jerusalem. It doesn't matter. It was a long trip for a young pregnant woman to go. I don't know how many days it took, maybe a week, maybe not. I don't know, but I know that she was there more than 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth. So here's a pregnant young girl who after 3 months at 16 years of age would begin to show. Then she heads back to Nazareth, and how long it took her to get there and where Joseph was at the time we're not told, but we know that by the time she got there, we're looking at her maybe 4 to 4.5 months pregnant. Turn to Matthew's account. We got Mary's. Verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." It's interesting. It follows that incredible genealogy. So-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. But Jesus' birth wasn't like that. That's what it says. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise," or happened this way. Differently than a begatten from one man to a woman to a young man that's born. Jesus wasn't from a young man to a young woman and he was born. Jesus was supernatural to a woman and he was born. "Then Joseph, her husband," well, let me read the rest. "When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found," underline that word, "with child of the Holy Ghost." The word is found out. How many are in Nazareth? 300 to 400. Mary goes away with a flat tummy. She comes back pregnant. And I guarantee you, when she walked into that town, everybody knew it. Everybody saw her. And as good as they may have been, I got news for you. In that era, mouths would have started to talk and tongues would have began to wag, and it would have been terrible. As much as just 50 years ago, that would have happened in most churches in America. A young woman would get pregnant out of wedlock, and they would have fried young lady for lunch. And I say this to the churches, shame on you. That happened. That doesn't mean the sin is taken away, but it means we're to respond. If anyone is overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. All God's people said. Well, they didn't respond in meekness. I'm sure they responded in a way that was judicial and judgmental, and they wondered what was going on. Now, here she is, back to the house, 4, 4.5 months pregnant, and guess who comes in? Joseph. And Joseph sees her in that condition. What do you think Joseph does? He's in a dilemma. He's a godly man, he says, a just man. Listen to what it says. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man." That means righteous. It has a thought of a person who is humble, who is compassionate, who is concerned, but most of all, he's righteous. He sees her in this condition. The one he loved, the one he engaged, this young woman who he thought had great character, and his first thought is, what has happened? What did she do? You and I both know as well as anyone that a man in that condition, a young man, would have thought, it would have entered his mind, was there another man? Did that happen? If she's committed fornication in the engagement period, the law requires a judgment. The Bible says, and Joseph being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, that's what the law required, a public example. It means to bring her before the council, the judges. They would listen to her and listen to him, make the decision. And there's no decision they could have made apart from that. She's lying to us. She's pregnant. We can see it. She must be judged. And a public example would be either publicly divorced and shamed openly or stoning. He was a just man. He knew that. He understood the law. He wasn't duped. So here he is, he's in this condition, he's wondering what to do, he has an incredible dilemma. What shall I do? And he said, Joseph, being a just man, didn't think it was right to make her a public example. There's his compassion. But he was going to put her away privily, and the word there in the King James, that translated really is private. Means to put her away in a private way, and that means he's going to go, he's going to seek a bill of divorcement, he's going to bring it and sign it, and take her somewhere and put her away privately, maybe back to her own house, I don't know. But he wasn't going to make a big deal about it, and he certainly didn't want anybody else to make a big deal about it. He was trying to protect her. Still loved her. Still cared about her. Mary's pregnant. He's an 18-year-old young man. How could this happen? Was it someone else? I still love her, so I'm going to put her away, but I'm not going to do it the way the law would require. I'll do it differently. And I think you could couple with all of that when the Bible says this. But while he thought on these things, pregnancy, another man, privately, and you run back over his life to that first day he saw her, that first time they were together. And over a period of months or however long it took, he fell in love, deeply in love with this young woman. Most believe she was just drop-dead gorgeous. She was beautiful. It didn't matter whether she was beautiful or not. From him, she was beautiful. And she was beautiful on the inside also. And he must have recalled all those things, and then I'm thinking. I'm not saying this is what the word, while he thought on it, but certainly could bring you to this. I think it brought him to a brokenheartedness that he couldn't get by. He just couldn't understand it. Why did that happen? Mary. While he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, I don't know, maybe Joseph was scared easier than Mary. Because to Mary, the angel just showed up. At least he let Joseph go to sleep for a while, amen? Maybe if he would have just showed up, that would have done it for Joseph in the condition he's in. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine that news? His pillow was wet with tears. Maybe he sat up and just mused, wondered, thought. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from her sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled with which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, he says, Joseph, I've got an answer for you. How can I not divorce her? How can I not put her away? What am I going to do? He's wringing his hands. He's concerned in his heart. He is burdened with pressure. It was overwhelming to him. What can I do? The angel said, Joseph. Number one, he said in verse 20, this conception is supernatural. Don't try to wrap your mind around it, Joseph. Just accept what I'm telling you. It's supernatural. No virgin gets pregnant without a man unless it's supernatural. All God's people said. Amen. He said, it's supernatural, Joseph. Then he said, the child will be the Savior. You'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So he said, Joseph, number one, here's the answer to your dilemma. This conception is supernatural. The child will be the Savior. Number three, the birth was prophesied, Joseph. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Joseph said, and that's in the Greek somewhere, holy smokes. Now it's starting to enter his brain. I know those prophecies, Joseph said. I've studied the law. I've read the Old Testament. Mary is giving birth to the Messiah? The one that will rule eventually? The one that was prophesied that would come? Mary's giving birth to Messiah? What on earth? I'm going to get to be a stepdaddy. Joseph must have been overwhelmed. Not just the virgin birth. Imagine the load that put on their hearts when they heard he's the one that's fulfilling prophecy that was promised to come. That's the Messiah. How would you like that in your lap? Raise that child for me, please. The very Son of God. He said, I've got the answer for you. This conception is supernatural. The child will be the Savior. This birth was prophesied. The child will be both God and man. Verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And God interprets it here. Emmanuel is a Greek word. The Gentiles would not know what the word Emmanuel meant unless they looked it up. They would have no reason to look it up. Why on earth would God then have to translate it? Because he wanted everybody to know that something special was happening. Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Here's the fourth reason that you don't have to be in a dilemma. This person coming, this child is going to be both God and man. And Joseph must have said, miracle of miracles. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not. He did not have a relationship with her until after she had given birth to Jesus, to make sure no one would ever be able to say, you lied to us. Wait a minute, do you think that solved the problem for everybody in Nazareth? I don't think so. One of the arguments against Christ was that he was illegitimately born. That has carried down to our day. But Joseph wasn't concerned about the wagging tongues and the talking lips. He was concerned about the conversation he had with an angel. And that Mary was in fact perfectly pure. And that Mary was going to give birth to the Messiah. And that he was going to be king of the Jews. And a savior of the world, a deliverer. And on those truths, not on his own assumptions, he married her. This is a very human story. But it cannot happen, even though it involved humanity, without a supernatural, interactive God who stepped in at the right moment, took care of the problem from Joseph's perspective and said, Joseph, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And they got married. And Jesus was born. And Jesus lived 33 and a half years on this earth, did nothing but good, never lied, never stole, never cheated, loved people, compassion on people, healed people, raised some from the dead, died on the cross, paid our sin debt, rose from the dead, lives on high. And don't you know, Mary and Joseph must still be up there talking about Jesus. We have no conception how difficult that may have been. None. We read it and then wait until the next year to read it again. But we should do like Mary did, ponder all these things in our heart. Because that was an unbelievable thing for two teenagers to face and come out on the right side. Thank God for the birth of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to love you, be thankful to you, to serve you, because you are the God of great things. You did this, Lord, by your supernatural arm. We thank you for it. We thank you for the willingness of Mary and Joseph to be involved in this incredible endeavor, the birth of the Savior. We thank you for their faith and for their goodness and for their righteous lives that prepared them to have to undertake such an incredible thing. God, meet our needs as we remember this time of year, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.